One in five people claim they have no religious affiliation at all.
We perhaps believe and embrace the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, but we're living our lives as though he were dead.
Coming in, and you can see folks being taken away in wheelchairs and on the live feed.
And so we grow up our entire life thinking, I need a fair God. I want a God that's fair. I want good things to happen to good people. I want bad things to happen to bad people. I want God to be fair.
My first instinct was to just run across the street and start helping out the people.
Move. Do something. You're so afraid of moving ahead of God. You can't move ahead of God. He's been waiting on you to step out in faith. He left the shore for you. Don't let him pass you by.
Welcome to our final message of this series called Jesus Is, and it is great to personally and physically be back with all of you guys and be fully engaged to what God is doing in and through this place. And can I just say that if you, for whatever reason, due to circumstances, may have missed last Sunday or a week prior to that when our pastor Chad Harper also spoke, let me just encourage you, if you missed any of these installments of this series, to go back and watch them online at fellowshiporlando.com. Some great, practical, and yet powerful messages have been shared. And today we're going to continue in this series called Jesus Is. As you just saw from that video, you know, one of the things that I think is so important for us to realize, and we began this on Easter Sunday, I should say. We started out with filling in that blank, Jesus is dead, but quickly filled in the correct answer on Easter Sunday with the fact that Jesus is alive. And the tragedy and the sad commentary is that many people understand and embrace and agree with that truth that Jesus is alive, but unfortunately, they live their lives as though he were dead. But God doesn't want any of us in this room to live our day-to-day lives as though Jesus were dead, but to live our lives fully alive because Jesus is alive. And if he lives inside of your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live our lives in victory rather than defeat. And today as we wrap up this series called Jesus Is, I really want to just kind of put an exclamation point on everything that we've been talking about. And that is to fill in this blank, Jesus is, with this answer. Jesus is what? Say it out loud.
Answer.
The answer. How many of you believe that wholeheartedly? Let me see your hands. Man, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is truly the answer. And one of the things that I know, because I know from personal experience, and I also know because I've talked to so many people that have shared with me that at the end of the day, no matter what they face, no matter what they're going through, no matter what challenges that seem to be coming against them, they know at the end of the day that Jesus is the answer to their pain, to their problems, to their confusion. And I also believe with all of my heart that no matter what the world is facing or what crisis our culture, our society is facing, that the answer is not found in who's in the Oval Office. The answer is not whether you're Republican or whether you're Democrat. That's not the answer or the solution to the world problems. The only answer to any crisis or any problem that you or I or this world or this country will ever face, the answer is found in Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Reminds me of a little story I heard about the school teacher who was in her classroom with her children, and so she had them all sit down, kind of like normal story time. And on this particular day, the school teacher, she wanted to communicate something to her children in the form of an object lesson. So she was going to describe something, and she wanted them to hold up their hand if they knew the answer to the question. And so the school teacher said, what is real small and furry and lives up in the tree and likes to eat acorns? And so, you know, she kind of paused for effect. She said, anybody know the answer to that question? And no hands were raised. So she went on a little further, and she said, not only is this a little furry animal, like to live up in trees and sometimes eat acorns, but sometimes it can be gray or sometimes it can be brown. And so she was trying to really emphasize, you know, all these details, and she kind of paused for effect, wanted to know if anybody knew the answer to that question. Still no hands were raised. And then finally she said, and not only does it live in the tree and like to eat acorns and sometimes can be gray or brown, but it likes to wiggle its tail when it gets excited. Anybody know what it is? And still no one raised their hand except for one little boy in the back. And he said, I think I know what it is. He said, I think it's a squirrel, but Jesus is the answer. And the teacher said, excuse me, Jesus is the answer. How'd you come up with that? And the little boy said, well, my daddy always taught me that if I wasn't 100% sure of what the answer was, Jesus was always going to be the answer. And I believe there's a lot of truth to that. Jesus is the answer. Paul the Apostle shared something in the book of 1 Corinthians as he was speaking to the church Corinth, and in many ways, these were new believers. Some were not living out their faith as far as the way they could or should. And so he was reemphasizing something to them, and he wanted them to clearly get this. And he said in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 1, he said, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Another way of saying that, what he was emphasizing, unless you didn't mean it, unless it wasn't the real deal. But he was also reemphasizing for those that did mean it, for those who were standing on that priority and standing on that message. He said, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. What Paul wanted to emphasize is the same thing that I want to emphasize in this concluding message of this series called Jesus Is. That we as individuals, as followers of Jesus Christ, if you know him as your Lord and Savior, as followers of Jesus Christ, as well as on a corporate level, we as the body of Christ hang everything on those facts. That Jesus died for your sin and mine. That he was placed in a grave and 3 days later he was raised back to life according to the scripture. If Jesus Christ lives in your heart, and Jesus Christ has changed your life, then you know as a result of the power and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that has changed your life, being living proof of that, that the only hope and the only answer to a world that is in need, the answer and the solution is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. And not only is Jesus the answer, but I wholeheartedly and passionately believe that the local church is the hope of the world. I really believe that. I really believe that what the world needs more than anything is not only relationship with Jesus, but I believe that the world needs to experience the life-changing power and transformation that can take place in every person's life as a result of knowing who Jesus is. Well, what do he ultimately mean to each and every one of our lives? 3 weeks ago tomorrow, I had a surgery that a lot of you know by now. I still have talked to a lot of people that maybe just due to out of town or whatever, didn't maybe connect all the dots or didn't know. And I've been wearing this silly neck brace on my neck and I still have to wear it in between services. Doctor really wants me wearing it for 2 more weeks. But as I had surgery and even prior to surgery, but especially after surgery, you know, people just have expressed a lot of love and concern and compassion, which is greatly appreciated. It means the world to me. And by the way, kudos to our People Care ministry. They are like off the chain, unbelievable ministry that we have in our church called People Care. But one of the things that was so encouraging to me was just the extension of compassion and concern and people who just wanted to help. And so the common phrase that I heard a lot, especially after I got home from the doctor, from the hospital, you know, people would say, well, Rodney, man, just let us know if there's anything we can do to help. Man, if there's anything I can do, just let me know. I've heard that so many times, and again, it's been so awesome and comforting, and been a great, great just verbal affirmation of people's concern and compassion. But, you know, I got to thinking about that statement, and I thought, man, what would it look like, or what would it be like if that was kind of like the prevailing attitude of everybody in our church? As far as extending the hand and the hope that's found in Jesus Christ to a world that's in need. What would it sound like? What would it look like if the whole church, the body of Christ, who has this good news, the gospel message, which is the answer to the world's problems, what would it look like if everybody had that prevailing attitude of, what can we do to help? Just let me know how I can help. So I thought for a moment, that would be awesome. So here's what I'd like to do. Just pretending, I'd like to throw it out there to you. So on the count of three, I'd like for everybody to say out loud, Rodney, how can we help? You ready? So one, two, three.
Rodney, how can we help?
I am so glad you asked. Because there are four ways that you can help share the answer, give the good news to people who are far from God and who matter to God and who matter to us. There are four things that you can do. And I think four things that we all need to do on a day-to-day basis if we're going to be all that God desires for us to be as followers of Jesus Christ and as the local church. So if you take a note, write this down. Number one is we have to connect. First thing you can do is connect. And our vision here at Fellowship is to connect people who are spiritually lost with this answer, the answer found in Jesus Christ, a relationship with Him. So to take it a step further, as a local church, we have a vision to reach the 1% of Greater Orlando. We want to give the answer, the hope that's found in Jesus Christ, this gospel, this good news, to the 1% of Greater Orlando. You say 1%. Well, in a population of over 2 million people representing Greater Orlando, our goal is to reach the 1% of this city. That's 20,000 people with this life-changing message of Jesus Christ by the year 2020. That's our vision. That's our mission. That's what I wake up every day with my feet running, trying to figure out how can we do that. And so one of the things that we did a few weeks ago, actually it was the night before the surgery that I had. And by the way, a lot of people have asked, well, what kind of surgery did you have? Well, just so you know why I'm wearing a neck brace, I had what was known as a cervical fusion, and I have three herniated discs, but they had to go in and remove one of my discs and put a little piece of cadaver bone in there, and they screwed in its place a little titanium plate, and so that's why I am now the official titanium pastor. But so anyway, that's what I had done, little side note, just to kind of fill in that blank for many of you. But we announced the night before I had that surgery to our pizza and partners in a very, very exciting first step for us to achieving this goal. And we announced the opportunity that we have to begin a second campus in what is referred to as the Lake Nona / Randall Park community. And we're going to be launching our first service over there on September the 8th. So what that means, our grander vision to be able to reach the 1%, the 20,000 plus people lost without Jesus Christ, man, in this city, we want to reach that 1%. And one of the ways we're going to do that is by being one church with multiple campuses. And on September the 8th, we're going to be launching our first service with our new second campus. And it's going to be the beginning, I believe, of something awesome and powerful. And man, it was so exciting on that night, our pizza and partner, to be able to just celebrate what God has been doing in the life of our church just this calendar year alone, seeing the people who we have been able to be able to connect spiritually as well as connect relationally. And we've seen well over 100 people that have given their lives to Jesus Christ, those are actually names and addresses, recorded decisions that we've had the opportunity to experience just in the last 90 days through our weekend worship experiences. And man, it's just been awesome to see what God has done. The number of people that have followed through in believers' baptism as a result of those people getting connected into the life of our church. And we just believe this is even really the first step to even greater things to come as far as what God wants to accomplish in and through our church. And a lot of people have asked the question, why is that strategy important? And here's the reason why. Because the scripture teaches us in Matthew 28, Jesus gave what is referred to as the Great Commission. And his commission to his followers, to his disciples, was to go into all the world and make disciples. So our role of responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ and as a body of Jesus Christ is to go and make disciples throughout the known world. And then the Bible also says in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it also says that we are to be Jesus' witnesses. In other words, we're to be testimonies of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're to be witnesses of this good news, this life-changing power of Jesus that's found in a relationship with him. We are to be his witnesses, not only here in Jerusalem and Judea, but in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so we have a passion and a vision to reach the people on the other side of the world, but at the same time, God has also given us a vision and a passion to reach the people across the street, to reach the 1% of this city. And so one of the things that people have often asked, they said, well, why Lake Nona? Well, three quick reasons. Number one is because of the amazing population growth that is expected and forecasted to take place. In fact, studies have been shown here in Orlando. Well, I'm going to read something to you. This is going to blow your mind. That 80,000 people, you ready for this? 80,000 people move into the city of Orlando every month. 80,000 people every year. I heard somebody go, wow, man, that's a lot. Yeah. 80,000 people a year by the Orlando Census Bureau estimated 80,000 people a year that move in to the city of Orlando. But here's what's staggering to me. Only 14.7% of them attend any church. 54% claim no religious affiliation. And that breaks my heart, is to know that there are people that are moving into this city, and many are spiritually disconnected, but think about the people, the families, the individuals, or the couples that come who are also relationally disconnected, coming from somewhere else, that don't know anybody. There's a disconnect, and so the feeling of isolation or aloneness and just the feeling of being kind of a fish out of water in a new place. Well, man, as a church and as individuals, we want to reach out to those people. And what we want to do is we want to embrace them. We want to fully connect them. We want to introduce them to the answer, this hope, this good news that's found in Jesus. And then we want to do life with them. We want to relationally connect with them so they can grow, so they can connect with other people, and ultimately become all that God desires for them to be as a result of being connected to a spiritual family. So why Lake Nona? Why is that so important? Why there of all the places in Orlando? Well, because of the projected growth. And what's crazy is that the new elementary school where we're going to be meeting in the Randall Park community called Sunblaze Elementary is literally right in the center of projected growth that off of Innovation Way and Dowden Road, that is really staggering. The thousands and thousands of homes are going to be built. It's already under construction. It's already happening. Not even including just the Lake Nona area alone. I mean, everything that's being forecasted, they're predicting that when it's all said and done, it's going to be far bigger than Maitland, Winter Park, and Altamont Springs combined. It's incredible. And because of the jobs and the projected job growth and the rate of the job growth opportunities that are going to be happening because of the University of Central Florida and the Burnham Institute and, man, the new medical city, that everything is, I mean, all the combined medical industries are going to be moving in and setting up regional and national offices. I mean, it's going to be incredible just what is going to be taking place. And we have the opportunity to get in on the ground floor. So not only is the projected growth one of our compelling reasons, but number two, we just so happen to be praying for an opportunity, a place to meet. And so through a mutual friend that goes to our church, was able to help introduce us to an opportunity of this brand new school. And not only this opportunity for to connect with this new school, because at the time there was no other places to even consider, but the relationship and partnership with the principal, who actually was here on the night of our Pizza and Partners. And she just, we formally introduced her, and she just expressed her excitement and affirmation about partnering with us. And so it just the door of opportunity, kind of low-hanging fruit from our perspective, as far as just the obvious sign of God at work and opening that door and establishing that partnership with the school and the leader there. But thirdly, in a lot of ways, it's kind of a homecoming, because that's where we started as a church 11 years ago. And what's cool is to know that we have the opportunity, once again, to get on the ground floor of something great as a local church, to be able to help reach that 1% and to reach those 80,000 plus people that are going to be moving into this city and beyond. I mean, it's going to be awesome. And what is our vision? Our vision is to connect them spiritually and relationally, to share with them the answer that's found in Jesus Christ. And I believe the local church is the hope of the world. You say, well, is all of this new? No, it goes back over 2,000 years ago. This is all biblical. And listen to what the early church did in the book of Acts chapter 2. After Peter stood up, preached the good news that Jesus is the answer, right there on the spot, some 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And then, boom, the first church was birthed. And then from there, it goes on to say in verse 41 and following, they, those new believers, were baptized and joined the other believers in regular attendance at the apostles' teaching sessions. They worshiped together regularly at the temple and met in small groups in the homes for communion, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And I love this. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And so what we see in the book of Acts is we see a church known as the spiritual family, the body of Christ, beginning to grow and expand and flourish, and being able now to be able to spread this gospel message, the good news of Jesus, to the known world. And here we are today continuing that message. Here we are today, over 2,000 years later, continuing to spread the hope of Christ, to share the good news, the gospel. And that was God's plan from the very beginning. That's why Jesus referred to it as the Great Commission. And we will not and we cannot stop sharing that answer until Jesus comes back again. And it's a privilege to be the ambassadors of Christ. It's an honor to be able to connect other people who are far from God to the answer who is found in Jesus Christ. And so when you think about that, man, what an opportunity we have. So the bigger question that I just really want to throw out to you is this: what are you doing to connect? Because if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe you're here today visiting for the very first time. And you're still processing a lot of this. You're still thinking about this whole Jesus thing. And is it legit? And how does this work? And who is he? And why does it care? Why do I care? Can I just help you to understand that the greatest step that you could ever take is a step of faith and putting your faith and your trust in Jesus, who died for you, who was buried and was raised back to life, so that you can have a do-over spiritually, to know that your sin is forgiven, so that you can have a relationship with him. And not only have a relationship with him, but live a life that is fully alive in Christ, a life of victory rather than defeat, a life that has newfound meaning and purpose, to living out a daily hope that you have, knowing that beyond any question, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that one day when your life physically comes to an end, you will begin to live forever in an eternal home called heaven. And the only way that the person can truly, truly experience that and have that kind of assurance is by taking that all-important first step, and that's by connecting with God through the person of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the answer. He's the solution. He's the one who can save you. He's the one who can change you and give you a new beginning and a new life. And not only that, but my other thing would be, what are you doing to connect by sharing this message? You know, one of the ways that we do that publicly is through the waters of baptism. Yeah, we're to do it verbally with people that we know, but man, one of the great steps of connecting with the body of Christ, we saw it and just read it a few moments ago in the book of Acts. It says they joined with the other believers. They were baptized. Man, one of the great things we had the opportunity to do in our last service, we baptized a lady. And what's so cool is that she had this whole section over here. Man, they all were applauding and, man, cheering. It sounded like a pep rally. And it was so cool just because they were celebrating the changed life. They were celebrating this new life in Christ that this lady by the name of Henrietta had experienced. And one of the things that maybe some of you need to do to connect is just by getting baptized. You can do that in our next service, or you can do it on May 19th. We're going to have our first beach baptism of the year. And man, it would be a great way for you to reach out to friends and family and invite them to come and celebrate with you. But there's a third thing that I think is so important as far as connecting. And not only do we give our lives to Christ and we make that known in public through the waters of baptism, but we have something here at Fellowship. It's called our connection track. And today, immediately after our third service, around 12:45, we have what we call Partnership 101. And it's really the first place that you begin. It's the first step that we encourage people to take to get really connected into the life of our church. We'll share with you a lot of things. We'll give you the opportunity to kind of peek behind the curtain to understand our heart and who we are, what we're all about. But we're going to lay out for you some things that are really important for you to begin to build your life upon. And it just continues in our remaining classes that follow, what we call our Priorities 201 and our Purpose 301 and our Placement 401 classes. And these are some steps that will help everybody get connected into the life of our church. And my question to you, once again, is this. What are you doing to connect? What steps are you taking? And one of the things that I think is vitally important, and hear my heart on this, I believe the greatest place for people to connect is in the context of a small group. We call them connect groups. Going back to this lady I referred to a few moments ago that was baptized, the reason why all those people were celebrating and standing, man, they were clapping and cheering, is because it represented her connect group. She's doing life with these people. She's growing, she's maturing in her faith, but she's not doing it alone. She's doing life together with other believers. And that's the reason why they were there, to celebrate and support her. But at the same time, she went through amazing tragedy and unfortunate crisis here recently. And man, who better to go through the valley with you than the people who know you and love you the best? And so they were there to support her from beginning to end. And I just believe with all of my heart that life change happens best in the context of a small group. Because it's one thing to grow spiritually, but it's another thing to grow relationally. And I just really believe that the greatest way to grow spiritually is in the context of relationships with other people that are there to help you and to encourage you and to speak life into you and to support you, hold you accountable, but be there as a family encouraging one another in this thing called the life of faith. And you know what? That's where needs are met, and that's where the people are pastored, is in the context of a small group. So the question is, what are you doing to connect? There's a world that needs to be connected spiritually and relationally, and we'll never be effective at truly reaching that extended vision of reaching the masses until we model that message by getting connected ourselves. But there's a second thing. Man, and by the way, can I read this? I ran across this scripture this week, and it just jumped off the page, and it was so powerful to me. And let me share it with you. It's found in the book of Psalm. I'm sure I've read this many, many times. For whatever reason, I just didn't connect with it like it connected with me this week. Psalm 92, verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Let me tell you something. You want your life to flourish. You want your marriage to flourish. You want your family life to flourish. You want every area of your life to flourish. Get firmly planted into the local church and watch what God will do. It's a promise that he makes. Second thing, if you were to ask me, Rodney, what can we do to help? Not only do I want to say, hey, connect, but the second thing is to serve. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you some special abilities, so be sure to use them to help one another. One of my greatest concerns is that so often people will come and they'll take a seat here in our worship center, and they're kind of doing this. They're kind of sitting on their hands, and they're not being fully utilized to their full potential. And what we don't realize is that God has given us spiritual gifts. Man, he's put passions and desires within your heart to be a part of something bigger and greater than yourself, and to exercise those abilities in a way that results and really translates into life change and strengthening the local church and being what God desired and really designed for us to be and desired for us to be as playing a vital role in the context of the local church, the spiritual family, the body of Christ. And there's just, man, a variety of different gifts and abilities. And what we have to do is we have to use them for God's greater purpose. I had, just real quick, I had lunch recently with a dear friend with Chick-fil-A. And he's an owner of one of the local Chick-fil-A's there at Orange Avenue. And I asked him, I said, Jeff, what's the secret sauce to you guys? I said, you're closed on Sundays and y'all give more food away than any other fast food industry combined. I said, what is the secret sauce to you guys? What makes y'all tick? He said, three things. He said, we have a vision to be remarkable at everything we do. And he said, there are really three things that we do to give people a remarkable experience. And he said, number one, he said, we just want to create what we call operational excellence. He said, from the efficiency of the way people get through our drive-through line to the cleanliness and the overall operational excellence in every one of our restaurants, he said, that's one of our top priorities. He said, the second thing is, he says, what we call second mile service. He said, that's the reason why we give free refills. We'll carry someone's tray to their table. We'll walk someone out to their car door. He said, we just want to exceed expectations and give people what we call second mile service. He said, we just want to serve people. He said, that's the reason why anytime we do something and someone says thank you, we always respond by saying, my pleasure. And he said, the third thing, and he said, we just want to provide an emotional connection with people. He said, we always look out. He said, if there is a single mom or maybe there's a little birthday party of some children, he said, we'll go give an ice cream cone. We'll come alongside and we'll sit down maybe with that single mom and just get inside of her heart and just ask maybe some questions of how her day is going. And he said, we just try to make emotional connections with people. And he said, the reason why is, he said, because we want people, when they leave, to feel as though they had a remarkable experience with us. And I thought, wow, that'll preach. But what a picture of the local church. And there's just so many things that we could be doing and should be doing as a body of believers to create a remarkable experience. And we talk about this as a staff all the time, and I reinforce it. Listen, there are three things that are mission critical to us that have to happen. We have to get this right each and every Sunday. And the reason why Sunday is so important is because that's when everybody's showing up. But we have to get our children's areas right. We have to get our guest services areas right. We have to get our worship experience right. Because that's when everybody's showing up. And we want to extend the second mile service at the doors and make people feel warmly welcomed. We don't want to bore children to death. We believe it's a sin to bore children in church. And so we're not going to put boring people back there. We want people who have a heart for children, who have a passion, and that could translate into a lot of different things. We have people that check children in, to are on stage, to that are small group leaders, to, but we have to get that right. And then we have volunteers that are pushing buttons and making sure you read things on the screens, and everything is clicking on all cylinders. Why? Because Jesus is the answer. We have to do everything we can to share this good news with people who are struggling, who are seeking, who are searching, who are spiritually and morally confused. We want them to know that Jesus is the answer. He's the hope to our world and the hope to their heart. So my question would be, what are you doing to help us in some of these areas? I want to encourage you to connect. I want to encourage you to serve. And then thirdly, I got to quickly get through this, is give. Malachi 3 teaches us to bring the tithe. Why is that so important? Because the tithe does not belong to us. It belongs to God. What is the tithe? It's 1/10, 10% of what God enables us to make through our income. So if you have a job, One of the ways that we give back to the Lord is by honoring the Lord through the tithe. And when we're faithful and obedient in that, you see, it's an act of worship. But because the tithe doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God. When we bring it as an act of worship, what we're communicating to God more than anything is that, God, you have first place in my life. And I'm honoring you with this sacrifice because of not only who you are and what you've done in my life, but God, I'm trusting you that you will make up the difference, that you will provide for me. And God says, if you do that, I'll bless you. I'll take care of you. I'll meet your needs, and I'll probably go far above and beyond anything you could ever imagine. And he said, just try me. Let me prove it to you. And the great commission that God's called us to fulfill as individuals and as a body of Christ has to be funded. And God's plan to finance the mission and the vision is through what is known as the tithe. And when we are blessed, which we all are in this room, in comparison to the rest of the world, trust me, we are blessed far beyond anything we could ever imagine. We're blessed so that we can be a blessing to other people. And that's why I love this church. This is a church that gets it. Church that understands that we've been called to be a blessing to people. It's why we, as a church, we give corporately. We give a tithe and we just send it back out so that we can be a blessing to those in need, to help reach the city and the world with this answer found in Jesus. So if you were to ask me the question, Rodney, what can we do to help, connect, serve, give, and then lastly, invite, just invest and invite. Andrew, one of the first disciples of Jesus, went and found his brother Simon. He said, "Hey, Simon, I found Jesus. I found the Messiah, and I love what the Scripture teaches in John 1." Simple statement, and he brought him to Jesus. And he brought him to Jesus. I had the opportunity years ago to spend some time with Billy Graham's team. And they have used something through the years everywhere they've gone around the world called Operation Andrew. And the whole gist of it all is by inviting people. Just friends inviting friends. Just investing people at work, inviting them to church. Investing in classmates at school, inviting them to church. Investing in our family members that are perhaps not living for the Lord and don't have a relationship with Him, inviting them to church. I had the opportunity this past week. In fact, Tammy, I saw her a while ago. She sat down here and we were talking with one of our volunteers, one of our office support volunteers that came in, and she, the office volunteer, she was just beaming from ear to ear, and she said, "I got a new husband," and we were kind of like taken back a little bit because we didn't know exactly where she was going with that, because we knew she was married, and we were thinking, "You got a new husband? What, did we miss something here? We didn't get that email." And she said, "No, I got a new husband." She said, "My husband's been coming to church." And she said, "I'm telling you, I don't know how to explain it. He's just a changed man is all I know." And she said, "He's been coming. And he's given his heart to Jesus." And she said, "His life has been changed." She came up to the Man Up event. She said, "I can't get him off of the computer. He's just Facebooking everybody. And he's just typing up quotes of the sermons and just talking about the worship." And he said, she said, "I don't know." She said, "All I know is I got a new husband. He's a different man. He's a changed person." But the key to it was, she'd been working on him and working on him and working on him and working on him and working on him. He finally came. Just invest and invite. So I want to conclude with this, because I'm sure my keyboard's fingers are about to fall off over here. On the count of three, would you please ask that question again? 1, 2, 3. I'm glad you've asked. Connect, serve, give, invite. And let's share this answer, the good news, the hope that's found in Jesus to our friends, our co-workers, our family, our community, to this great city, and to a world that's in need, because Jesus is the answer.